The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
It is indeed that time again. Welcome, everybody, to Afternoons with Mike here on the Shepherd Radio Network. I have in the studio with me my good friend for some time now, and it's great to have Andy Searles anytime he's here. But this week, we're here to talk about something that's big, something that is exciting, something that is, and really, it's right here. It's upon us, and that's the Better Man event. Welcome to my program again, Andy.
Mike, it is always a good week in my life when I get to talk with you. And I'm excited this week to talk not just about the Better Man event, but anything else that is on your heart, because I love your heart and I love the truth that you speak to so many of us here in Central Florida and beyond.
Well, I appreciate that so much, Andy. And that is very mutual. You lead the church together in Castleberry. And I love the fact that you're a local pastor. And I believe what God is doing in really so many ways in your life, it's a model for me, for me to point other pastor friends to and say, look, this guy's not only involved in his local church, and that's first and primary to him, but then beyond that, there's almost like an equal call to be involved in your community.
Yeah.
And to be involved with other pastors in the community.
Yeah.
And to be involved in the activities in the community. I just think it's marvelous, brother.
Well, thank you. For so long, Mike, I think the church has, for whatever reason, siloed itself. You know, we'll do our thing over here and you do your thing over there. But for me, that's not the call of the gospel. The call of the gospel is to serve our communities, to love our communities. And I love being a pastor. I'm called to be a pastor. This Better Man event is fun and it's big and it's loud. But we need to remind ourselves that Jesus shows up in the small and the quiet as well. So I feel very blessed to be involved in something like the Better Man, which reaches beyond anything I could ever have imagined. But also it's the calls late at night from hurting people who mm-hmm. need some care. That's the call of the gospel too.
You know, the whole event, to talk about the Better Man event for a moment and its origin, the whole event began as kind of like a men's get-together with a couple of people. It wasn't a large gathering at all. I think it was under 100, right?
I think it was around 40. Now, yeah. That kind of predates me, but as Brian tells the story, it's kind of the story that most of us can relate to, because most of the churches we attend have some kind of men's ministry. Maybe it's like a little gathering at Denny's or some kind of soggy home-cooked
pancakes
at the church.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
And I think that's kind of the origin story of Better Man. And I love that it came out of the church
yes.
to bless the world, because it really is God's plan to use the church. We're his bride. We're his hands and feet. We're the representation of him here in this world. And so there's something holy about Better Man being birthed out of the church, and there's something feels right about my leadership that I'm able to speak into this big event, but I'm also getting my hands and feet dirty in the trenches of local church. I know that a lot of people over this last year or so have curtailed or pulled back from church attendance, but I would just encourage them, please don't give up on the church. The church is Jesus's bride. We're called to be a part of the church.
Yes.
The church is God's plan to love and serve and bring his redemption to this world. So don't give up on the church.
You know, and I think along with that, if we could jump in and say, don't give up on meeting face to face with the local church. A lot of people are, I believe, for the wrong reasons, still staying at home, watching their local church. And I'm grateful that we have streaming. I'm grateful for the technology that's there. Mm-hmm. But I believe that it's time that we come back face to face. We need the fellowship.
Yeah.
That brings in our lives. And there's no one that I know that doesn't benefit from that. In fact, it's critical that we have it.
Absolutely. God doesn't call us into relationship with a screen.
Yeah.
He calls us into relationship with people, with each other. And a healthy church, a Bible-believing church that really values that community of believers is the best place to do that. I mean, I think the online church, you know, worked well at a level in a crisis. But there's a better option.
Yes.
We need that face-to-face, that human interaction. I don't know about you, Mike, but I find that as a Christian, I don't grow in my faith in isolation. I need people like you in my life and my church friends in my life to speak and to live God's love and grace and mercy and truth into my life. I just can't do it when it's just me and the screen. We're made to need people.
You know, I think of the scripture verse that it says, in those days, every man did what was right in his own eyes.
Yes.
And that's the danger that every human being faces. It's this danger of isolationism. It's this danger of being alone and being left with only our thoughts and only what goes on in my mind and only the way I see things. And that can be so clouded by my own background. That can be clouded by my lack of experience and maybe even my lack of conviction. But when you have men coming together who are all wanting and they're expressing, we want to grow, we want to be what God wants us to be. We want to be the people that God intended for leaders, men. I don't mean now church pastors. I'm talking about men who lead their families. We want to be that kind of a guy. And it takes, you know, we're not an island to ourselves. It takes other men. As iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another.
Absolutely. As we've been thinking through this kind of better man explosion over the last year, we've gone from an event that had 7,500 to an event this year that we think is going to have at least this Saturday 30,000 sets of eyeballs on it. One of the things we've been thinking through very intentionally is that idea that no one grows alone. And no one needs to go through life alone. So even when we were selling viewing options and we were encouraging people to host it in their home with some friends or at their church with a larger group or even join us in person, one thing we've really backed off on doing is selling individual streams because we don't want to create just an interaction between one man and the screen.
Mm-hmm.
At very least, invite a friend over to watch it with you. Bring some guys to your house. Host a barbecue. Order a pizza. Whatever it takes. But this content is going to be richer if you share it with another because the gospel comes alive and develops all these extra dimensions and facets when we're engaging it together. It really is us and God rather than me and God.
Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about what you're doing, I mean, there are wonderful aspects to streaming. It can be on demand, and that is very helpful. So people who are not able to be at a screen when it's actually happening, although it is happening in real time this coming Saturday, but they can watch it at any time with a group of people and be able to do that. So that's a wonderful advantage, but still it's not the same as being in a building face-to-face when you can do that. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about this. I'd like to expand on what you were giving because you were giving us just a little bit of a history. You've touched on a few of the things. So let's do that for a moment. It began, as we said earlier, a small group, maybe 40 people, and it was a men's meeting, and the conviction was born. And from there, it began to grow. The next year, it was more widely attended. And then ultimately, you end up going to UCF. Mm-hmm. And you tell us about what happened when you went to UCF.
Yeah, that was a big jump for us because the years before, we'd been in a church, and we've grown pretty solidly every year, almost doubled from, you know, 40 to 80 and onwards and onwards. And then we got to 2000, then to jump to 4,000.
Where were you when it was at 2000?
We were at Calvary Assembly.
Oh, okay.
I believe.
Yeah.
And then we got to 4,000, I think maybe there again. And then we went to UCF Arena, which is 7,500. And we're like, God, is this something you want to do? Can you do it? And by God's grace, at the last minute, all of a sudden, in that last week, we jumped from about 5,000 tickets sold to fill in the place. And we're like, oh my goodness, God, you're obviously doing
7,500
something.
7,500 people.
Yeah, yeah. In person. And it was just rocking that night. Men need each other to become better men. And there was just a humble, beautiful, shared spirit that we all experienced in person that night. Fast forward the next year, we've got COVID and all the challenges. Mm-hmm. We plan to go to a bigger venue. And honestly, the plan was to kind of move to the Amway pretty quickly because that's 18,000. And, you know, who knows where? But that plan never materialized because through COVID, God kind of diverted us and introduced us to streaming and online and all that kind of stuff. To the point that this year, already, we think we're going to have about 30,000 sets of eyeballs on the event on Saturday night. And as you said, we can play it afterwards before groups and churches. So who knows how God will use it?
I mean, I'm thinking about the growth from 40 people inside of a fellowship hall meeting and talking about the same kinds of things that are going to be talked about at this week's event. But then you fast forward and now instead of 40 people, you've got 40 nations almost as you're getting up there close to that. And that's just mind-boggling to realize that you guys have taken the lemons that COVID brought and made it into this wonderful tasting lemonade that is just, it's a beautiful outcome from what would be a very dark cloud. Here is a silver lining that is unbelievably great.
Yeah, I think we could all agree that those COVID lemons were pretty bitter.
No, they were terrible.
But then this is the gospel though, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, it's what God has done with Better Man, but it's what God has done with me and you. You know, we could call it making lemonade out of lemons, but the reality is that's the redemption process that God wants to birth in all of us. I was a sinner who was lost and broken and pained and causing pain, right? Mm-hmm. I was a lemon.
Yes, I was.
But through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, he has redeemed my life. And every day I pray that he would use my life as lemonade. Mm-hmm. And that's the work of redemption that I think God longs to do in this world. And perhaps one of the reasons that God is using Better Man, because we want to see his redemption at work, not just in men's lives, but in the lives of our church, in the lives of our cities, in the lives of countries and continents, as Jesus loves and changes this broken world.
Now, the Better Man event last year, in a COVID year that was already delayed, as you mentioned, you were going to have it in a bigger arena, the Silver Spurs Arena, mm-hmm. down in Kissimmee, and that would have seated 9,000 or mm-hmm. a little more. And then, of course, we know that COVID put the stop to that.
Yeah.
And then it was delayed and was going to be reset at the Silver Spurs later in the year. And when we thought that 2 weeks flatten the curve time would be over, and surprise, surprise, Mr. COVID, he's like that uncle that never leaves, you know?
That's right. I think we're like in week 100 of two-week lockdown thing.
Yeah,
when
flatten the curve is flattened us. Yeah. And it's just...
My stomach curve hasn't got any flatter, though, during this time, though, Mike.
But you guys went ahead and you kept the date that was the last date set. And that was in November of 2020. And that date, it was to be held, and you did. You moved it into a beautiful venue, mm-hmm. First Baptist Auditorium. Mm-hmm. And that seats, close to 5,000, if not 4,000 and change. And I think you have, 1,500, 2,000 there that night?
Yeah, I think so, which was really one of the first in-person events after COVID. And, you know, we're encouraging people to be safe and wise. But, yeah, we did it. And God showed up and he showed us that more could be done than we could ever imagine. And I'm so grateful for First Baptist Church for all that they've done. They've been incredibly generous, incredibly thoughtful. They've been a tremendous partner, and they really are a light to this city here in Orlando.
They really are. There's no doubt about that. And the beautiful venue that it is just really fed well into the whole idea now of this merged concept of part virtual, part live, because even there last year, you had some of the event speakers that were videotaped ahead of time. And they were able to show it. So, I mean, we got to be there. We got to see it. Not all that differently than, although it's a much bigger room than what a lot of people have, you know, at their church, if their men's group is watching it or whatever. But we got to see wonderful videos. And you know what? It worked. And so this year, you've got the same kind of concept. You've got some people that are there live, and you've got some amazing people to give their testimonies through video. And again, a unique way of blending those two things together.
Yeah, the hybrid model really seems to work by having some recorded pieces, pre-recorded pieces. We're able to get some folks involved in the event that perhaps we couldn't have done either. But having that live element creates a very real touch as well for the men.
Now, for the live part, do you have any idea on the count for this year? What are you expecting there?
Yeah, at the moment, I think we're at about 3,000.
Wow.
So we've got room for 1,000 or so more.
You've almost doubled, if not doubled, then from last year.
Yeah, in person. Yeah, yeah, very, very much. And it's not too late to get tickets as well. If you're in the Orlando area and are looking for something to do on Saturday evening, guys, we would love for you to call a buddy and bring them. Tickets are about $20, which is really good when you hear the speakers we've got and the live performers. We've got a huge tailgate beforehand with food trucks and kind of guy games, axe throwing, some of that kind of stuff. And then pre-show at 6:30 and then the event starts at 7 o'clock. So it's not too late to get tickets. We'd love to fill that out. We realize that's in God's hands as the whole event is. But if you're looking for something to do on Saturday night, come check us out.
And that is the Better Man event, and it is going to be at First Baptist Orlando. But again, it is available on a streaming basis. And give us the website before we take a first break here. Give us the website, how people can find out not only tickets, but also about the streaming.
Yeah, bettermanevent.com. That's bettermanevent.com. And go there, you'll see who we are, what we do, who our speakers are, and how you can purchase a ticket or how you can purchase a stream as well.
All right. And that lineup that Andy's mentioned for this year's event, it's huge. We're going to be talking about that coming up in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. Back again here on the program with Andy Searles, my guest. It's so great to have Andy here each and every time. I love the fact that I get to speak to an Englishman who really has this delightful accent. But you've been over in the States now a long time. Man, keep the accent.
I am trying. It is so hard when I speak with some of my parents. They tell me that my accent has been corrupted and polluted. And so I need to watch some more BBC America or something just to keep up with it.
Yeah, that's right. You got it. It's there. And I think most of us who hear you speak, we're just a bit jealous that we don't have that cool accent going for us, but
I'm convinced it's the only reason my wife married me.
Okay.
It wasn't my dashing good looks, because there's not many of them, but I think it could have been my accent.
All right. Well, kudos to you for that, man. That worked out well for you. Hey, this year's Better Man event that's going to take place has some headliners that people would instantly recognize. In fact, they might be surprised that a person like Denzel Washington, and we are talking about the actor, is a guest. Now, tell us a little bit about how all of that happened.
Denzel has been a man of faith for a long, long time. But because of the industry he's worked in, and for whatever reason, I think he's wanted to kind of keep that to himself. His faith has been a very personal driver and motivator in his life. And I think when you function at that level of celebrity, there are some things that you really need to keep private. But a part of his faith development, Denzel has had a pastor, Pastor A.R. Bernard, who's also a speaker at the event.
And he's been on my program.
That's right. That's probably his most notorious thing, right? I should have introduced him as previous guest on the Shepherd.
I did not mean to inject that that horrible image right there, but yes, thank you.
I think that's worth highlighting.
The momentary humility that I needed to get from that. Yeah. Thank you.
But Pastor Bernard has counseled and supported and helped to spiritually form Denzel's faith in Christ. And so we have mutual friends in common with Pastor Bernard, and the connection was made. And Denzel was looking for a place to share his faith. And as a good pastor, a good shepherd, A.O. Bernard was looking for the right opportunity, and for whatever reasons felt that the Better Man event was a great place for Denzel to start sharing more about his faith journey.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, we're sitting here scratching our heads as well, saying, how did this work out? But by God's grace, it has. And we're excited that we can use our event as a platform for Denzel, not just to share his faith, but actually to fulfill a prophecy that was given about his life to him many, many years ago.
Now, wasn't he originally from this area in Central Florida? It seems like he might have grown up for a while over in Volusia County. I'm not sure. Do you know anything about that?
I have absolutely no idea about that.
I'm sorry I even brought it up.
This is great radio.
We'll have to find out. We'll have to find out if that's true. And we'll report back later. Film at 11. Now, this is really great. I mean, I think it's something that you have a prophecy in your life. Somebody comes up and says, I believe that you're supposed to be doing this. And we know that all of those kinds of prophetic words, they do not equal the power of Scripture or the authority that's in Scripture. But I tell you, God speaks sometimes through the most amazing ways and gives us a little glimpse, a shadow of something that's going to happen. And it might be clear, it might be a little unclear, but so often I've looked back on my life and think, you know, that which someone said really spurred my faith on in that moment. Mm. And I received that and boy, lo and behold, all of that came true.
Mm.
That happens.
It does. Absolutely. And I think it's worth noting two things. First of all, that God still speaks today. And secondly, that prophecy is often best seen in hindsight.
Mm.
And so we have to live in this tension of, yes, God is saying something and doing something now, but I'm not going to fully understand it until later. And that's where our faith comes in,
yeah.
Right? So we try our best to listen to God, to hear from God. We try our best to be faithful with that, but trusting that maybe we won't fully understand what God is doing until it's done.
Yeah, 2020 hindsight is always the best when we can look back and say, you know, it's there. And I think that's so true as believers that we have to remember that when we're going through difficult times, sometimes it's not going to be until we get on the other side of this real difficult trial. I keep saying this about COVID, that we'll look back at it and we'll see all of the ways that God brought us through, where he literally picked us up and carried us through.
Mm.
And I think there's going to be story after story that will be like that in this event. So you've got A.R. Bernard, and A.R. now will be live this week.
He will, and he's bringing his son with him, and they're going to talk about their relationship and some of the father-son dynamics that men often experience. And he really is a powerful, powerful speaker. He's an author. He's a pastor. He's got the voice into many, many influential people in
yes,
our country.
Does.
Now, he won't talk about this. He doesn't like to talk about it. But when you hear from him, you think, thank you, Lord, that you've got someone with his wisdom speaking into some of those places in our nation.
And he was just a charming person to have on the radio,
yeah.
On my program. Ours was an over-the-phone interview, but it was great, and he was warm, and he was so just down to earth. I just really look forward to hearing him.
He's the kind of guy we want to be like when we grow up, isn't
yeah,
he, Mike?
Yeah, I think you're right. And talk about, you know, what you were saying. Talk about the kind of people that he regularly counsels and talks with, and to realize that he has done this with humility. He's done this with the ability to keep his head straight as to what it is and I really, really was impressed with him. Okay, so you've got A.R. Bernard, a pastor from New York, and then you've got, of course, Denzel Washington, that they're going to be talking together, and A.R., in addition, will be there live, setting it all up. So then you've got this interview that you did last year before the Daytona 500. Or was it this year?
Well,
was it actually this calendar year?
Same guy, different interview. Same guy, different interview. So the gentleman you're talking about is a man called Michael McDowell.
Yes.
Some of your listeners will put that together, that he was the winner of the Daytona 500 this year. The initial connection we had was just a interview 2 days before that race. He was sitting in the middle of the track in his RV, and we interviewed him.
I was thinking you interviewed him.
I did. That was a very humbling interview.
Oh, I did not mean to imply that interview is going to be shown this year.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, No.
You
interviewed him.
Yes, we've got a good interviewer this time.
Yeah. I don't believe that. I think you need to be interviewing somebody.
Yeah, but our partners at IM Second have helped interview, and he's going to share his story. I've seen some sneak peeks of that interview, and it is really, really powerful. His claim to fame before winning the Daytona 500 was that as rookie of the year, he flipped his car something like 17, 18 times on the track. And just miraculous that he walked out alive. And that was a catalyst for him to ask some deep questions about life. Who am I? What's the purpose of this? Those kind of things. And in the midst of those questions, he found Jesus to be the answer. And since then, he's sought to follow Jesus. And his life has really changed dramatically. And his story is one that makes me want to become a better man.
Well, you know what, Andy? It's very clear that the anointing that came in that initial interview with you carried over on the track, man.
Yeah, I mean, I can't take any credit for his win. I really can't. I mean, I'd love to, but I can't.
But it's awesome to think that you got to talk to this guy. Man, you flipped 18 times in one accident.
Yeah, crazy.
I mean, just the car. I mean, there are some G-forces at work in that, without a doubt.
Yeah. As part of the video, we're actually going to show the crash. It was the first time I'd seen the crash. When I saw the video, I'm like, oh my goodness, it is nothing short of a miracle that this guy made it out of that.
And you know, sometimes you see these car accidents that actually kill a person, and it doesn't look like it should have.
Right.
But I mean, that's the forces that we just can't get our brain around, how fast these guys are going around that track.
Yeah.
And the level of momentary judgment and decisions that a person makes in a split second can be a life or death decision.
Yeah, amazing. I think about 200 miles an hour.
Over. Oh,
crazy.
Yeah,
over.
It's just nuts that they do that. And these cars, they're equipped with as much, I guess, technology to bring safety as possible. But man, when you're going that kind of speed, anything can happen. And they go airborne.
Yeah, I mean, I was running late to your studios today, and I don't think I got over 150.
Ooh,
so I mean, I can't imagine 200.
Man. Okay. So we've got A.R. Bernard, we've got Denzel Washington, we have Michael McDowell. Now we've got some music.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Yes.
You've got Toby Mac coming.
The Toby Mac is coming to sing and to speak to us as well. He's got a 7 or 8 song set. He's actually going to be releasing a brand new song for us, playing it publicly live for the first time. I think it releases on Friday, and he's singing it for us on Saturday. He's also going to talk. We're going to interview him about the passing of his son. So tragically, a few years ago.
That was horrible, yeah.
And he's going to talk about how a man can work through life's difficulties and troubles. But Toby Mac is an incredible, incredible man. His team is phenomenal. His singing is incredible. His lyrics are profoundly deep. And we're super excited that he's going to be with us.
Incredible talent. Of course, he was first brought into the spotlight of music and became a household name when he was with a group, DC Talk.
Yes. In fact, just this morning, I was reviewing one of the many contracts that we have had to put together for this event. And his holding company that he set up, management crew, is called Freak Incorporated.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, that's a weird name. Then
Jesus
I realized,
Freak.
Jesus
yeah.
Freak.
Yeah,
what would people see? say if they knew that I was a Jesus freak. So,
And he was so well known. He was the rapper that I think a lot of people did not realize that Toby could sing as well as he can sing.
Yeah.
Because most of the time in DC Talk, he was the guy doing the rapping.
That's right. Michael Tate was the other guy, right?
Michael Tate, Kevin's name is escaping me right now, the other singer. Michael Tate, now with Newsboys, and just a wonderful vocalist, amazing vocalist. But he would have been the real lead singer of DC Talk. But Toby was the guy doing all the rap and talk, and man, it's just amazing. But
and he's got a full band that travels with him, 9-piece band, and they're all coming down. They do a show Friday night, and they got one Sunday night, but they're making way to come to us, and man, it's going to be popping.
You're
going to
have that stage at First Baptist rocking, man, with Toby Mac.
Hopping, popping, and rocking. That's right.
So who else now on the agenda
and
for
then,
this week?
A couple of other speakers. One that we're kind of keeping a surprise. We're going to present an award to someone. But the other speaker is Ricardo Kaká, who many in Orlando will know because he played for Orlando City. But many around the world will know because a few years ago, he was voted best soccer player on the planet. Now, bear in mind that soccer really is the global game around the world. And he's a humble man. He loves Jesus. And he has a huge following, especially in South America, where he's from. So this past week, on his social media platform, which numbers 50 million plus people, he shared a little promo video for the event with a little introduction that says, "Hi, I'm Ricardo Kaká. Will you join me at the Better Man?" And within 24 hours, because he posted it, our promo video was seen over 200,000 times.
Oh, my goodness. Now, does that count as viral at that point when you get that many, or does it take more?
I've got no idea.
That's
how
close
all that
enough
works
to viral.
It's more viral than I've ever been. I mean, if I have 10 people like one of my posts, Mike, if I tag you, I might get to 20.
That's it. Thanks for that, Andy.
But yeah, I mean, can you imagine
50 million
kind of reach? But he believes God has given him that platform so that he can tell of God's goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something really right and holy almost about that, that whatever platform God gives us, whether it's as a pastor or a radio host or as a soccer player or a businessman or a dad or a husband, whatever it is, God gives us that platform so that we can tell of his works and his wonders to the nation.
Now, he was here, you said, as a player for Orlando. And was that one of the first years that we had the professional soccer here?
Well, it was. Now, when it comes to Orlando City history, I'm a bit of a purist because I've been around a long time. So we played in the second tier, the USL, for I think 3 or 4 years as a pro team, but it was kind of minor league stuff. But it was in 2015 that we jumped to the major leagues and took on a new level of professionalism, and it was then that Kaká joined. So he was considered one of the originals in our major league era.
Now, were you the chaplain during that season?
I was. I've been the team chaplain for Orlando City for a number of years, pretty close to the beginning.
So you got to talk with him regularly?
Yes, and still do. And at first, just very nervous. I'm a big soccer fan. I'm a soccer nerd. You know, we talked about my Britishness, and I think it's kind of built into the DNA of a lot of Brits that we just love soccer. And so to get to meet one of my heroes was actually pretty intimidating at first. One of the things that I used to do as a chaplain before the COVID restrictions and that kind of stuff is we'd have a pregame chapel. And we'd meet in the locker room underneath the stand, and you could hear all the noise from above and the quietness of the locker room. And Kaká was going to come to our chapel service. But for whatever reason, I think he had some media duty or something, he didn't make it. And so we had our chapel, we prayed, we moved on. He comes up to me and says, "Andy, when are we going to meet to pray?" I said, "Oh, Kaká, you know, we missed it. Maybe next week," which I was kind of relieved about because I was nervous, you know, to be about it. He said, no, I want to pray. I want to ask God to bless what we're doing. So I said, "Sure, okay." And we went and sat in this little corner of the locker room, and I had my hand on his shoulder, and I'm praying that God would bless the game, bless him, protect him, all that kind of stuff. in one half of my brain, but the other half of my brain is saying, oh my goodness, I can't believe that I'm praying with Kaká right now, right? So I'm caught in this tension. But then I heard the voice of God, probably as clearly as I have for a long time, saying, Andy, you idiot, you may be praying with Kaká, but you're talking to me.
That's right.
And it was just a reminder that many of the idols that we build are nothing, man, compared with the greatness of our God.
This is why I like Andy Searle so much. That is down and a real level honest right there. That is great. I think we can all relate to those moments where we'd like to think we were maybe a bit more spiritual, but no, we were pretty taken by the moment. It happens.
I'm not sure God calls us an idiot.
I don't.
But that was my interpretation of how I felt.
Good stuff. Andy Searle's my guest today. We're going to be back with him for one more segment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. Back for one more segment with my friend Andy Searle's from Church Together. Andy's a busy guy. We've already outlined the fact that he's a board member on the Better Man event, which is this week, and the real prime reason why Andy's back with us on this show today. And he's also a chaplain for the Orlando City, the professional soccer team. And you're a soccer player yourself. You still get out there and play, don't you?
You know, Mike, you hit an age when the recovery time just takes too long. So for me to play soccer for an hour is like a 5-day commitment in terms of my body recovering. So
I get it.
Sometimes I'd like to go and kick the ball around, but yeah. I still have a little video game console that sometimes I pull out to play soccer on that.
We're doing virtual soccer
That's
then.
Right. There is less wear and tear on my body when I do that.
Oh my goodness. Well, this Better Man event, we've talked about that. Just recapping now, there's a surprise guest that you've got coming. And you mentioned this. Let's talk about this for a moment. The pre-service, pre-gathering afternoon of fun for men. So it's not just show up at the 6:30. It would show up what time to take advantage of all the tailgating and all of the fun?
Yeah, as we said earlier, helping guys connect is a really, really important part of what we want to do. So one of the questions we asked was, how can we facilitate times when guys can hang out and have fun together and be real with each other? So we've put together what we're calling our tailgate. We'll have some music. We got some games. We got some food trucks. We've got all kinds of special activities, which we hope will facilitate relationships between the guys who are coming. One of the games that we've got, I'm eager to try this. I don't know if you've ever done it, Mike, is axe throwing.
I've only done the kind of inflatable axe, not the real axe. I've never done that.
Yeah, well, I understand we'll have real axes, and I think they just put a target and you throw it, and I just hope we got some good insurance for that.
Yeah,
but it's going to be a lot of fun.
It seems like that is something that if you do it the first time and one sticks, I think I'd say, okay, there was my one moment right there. But I've had a lot of friends who have done that, and they say it's a blast.
Yeah. I imagine it is. Kind of like dots with axes.
Yeah. There's a certain way that you just have to flip that axe so that the head makes its way around and boom, sticks right there.
That's right. Just the question is, how many practices do you need to get it right?
But I can see how many areas could go wrong with that one so quickly. And I'm hoping you have a really nice way of shielding for errant throws. And oh goodness. So you'll have that. What else is going on?
So that starts at 4:00, really just to facilitate relationships between guys. That's going to be a lot of fun. 6:30, we're inviting people in. We're going to have a little bit of a pre-show. OB Diaz, our host, is going to warm up, shall we say, the audience. Mm-hmm. He's got some jokes. He's got some presentations, those kind of things, because we really want in-person audience to feel energetic and excited about the event, because in a weird kind of way, what's happening in the live audience translates to what's happening in the home audiences and the church audiences and something like that.
Mm, it's so true. And Obi is a wonderful guy. He's local. He's a radio guy here in the Orlando area. And, you know, to see his His energy is just like over the top, isn't it?
I get exhausted just after a conversation just because he's just go, 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 and yeah, idea, man. Idea, idea, and can we, can we, can we? And I love him to death.
Oh, well, we're excited about the numbers that you're anticipating. And again, it is possible still to go live and to be there in the actual First Baptist Auditorium. It is this coming Saturday, and that is the 18th. And, you know, this is going to be something that I don't believe anybody who comes will be sorry at all. It is amazing. The people at First Baptist are wonderful at hosting these big events like this. And you think you're already past the 3,000 mark. This is going to be a wonderful event.
It is. And I just want to reassure folks as well. It's going to be a safe event as well. We're very wary and cautious and aware that this COVID situation is going to go on. So we're just encouraging people, if they're not feeling good, we'll give you a host pass just so we don't bring any germs into the building.
Right. And I don't think that was a problem last year.
It was not. No.
Yeah. You had, like you said, one of the biggest and maybe one of the first big gatherings that we all got to attend in 2020 was the Better Man event. Mm-hmm. And nobody got sick. And that was great. That's awesome. So, man, that's this week. Give us the website one more time for how people can do that.
Yeah, www.bettermanevent.com. And go there and you'll find everything that you need to know about the show. If you're a little bit more techie, we have an app, the Better Man app. And you can download that on your phone, open that up, and that will tell you everything you need to know as well.
And it's a free app, and it's right there, easily downloadable at the App Store or Google Play. I've got it on my own phone.
There you go. And lots of resources that we're going to keep building out that offer some daily encouragements to be a better man.
And that's wonderful. So we'll give that again one more time at the end if you missed it. Andy, every time you're here, I just want to absorb the moment and say, God, thank you for giving us a man like Andy, who is a local pastor, who is involved, as we said earlier, in the community, and who believes that this is, and as I do, the church was never intended to be within the four walls of the building of that gathering. Mm-hmm. We were always intended to live out what I think of in the book of Acts, where Peter is walking, and Peter and John, silver and gold have I none, but such as we have. Yeah. And that did not happen in a building.
Right.
That did not happen in a church auditorium. That happened on the streets. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I believe God's supposed, has called us to live. That's the way we're supposed to act and respond.
Yeah, I love the metaphor that the church is really a hospital to help people get well and to introduce them to Jesus so he can heal their soul and put them on the right track. But in order to be a hospital, you have to know who your patients are.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to look very far to see that in our world, there are people who are hurting and injured and being destructive and living destructive lives that need the hope and the healing and the peace and the power that only Jesus can bring.
Now, Andy, this is one of those times again, whereas every time you're here, I say, put on your pastor's hat for a moment. And this is always easy for you to answer this, because what this question is going to be is, it's going to be what you, number one, you probably already had to answer. Number two, it's really what and where you are as you yourself are processing these things. But when people come and they're disappointed in the way our country, the state of our country, and especially with the heartbreaking things in the last couple of weeks that we've all seen, the images about Afghanistan and what's going on at the border. When people say to you, Andy, how are you dealing with all this? Where's your faith level? How is it impacting your life? What do you tell people?
For me, Mike, it's very simple. It may sound very Pollyanna, but I'm trusting Jesus. I think Jesus's life, his legacy, his teaching, his love, his example, his power, the way he dealt with people, the way he responded to life's challenges is the example for all of us. So in the midst of difficulty, my first go-to is what does it look like to get close to Jesus in this moment? I was talking with a gentleman the other day who said that he was an agnostic, not an atheist, but an agnostic. He kind of sort of believed that God was there, but he'd seen so much religious stuff and so much judgment from the church and so much pain inflicted from the church that he thought that if the church looked like God, then he wanted nothing to do with God.
Yeah, it's so sad.
And so as we went through that conversation, I just found myself saying, I'm sorry that happened. Christians should act like Christ. Look at Jesus. I'm sorry that happened. Christians should act like Christ. Look to Jesus. Because Jesus, the man, the Son of God, he's our example and he's our hope. And if we are to start living like him and following him faithfully, I have no doubt that we will have the wisdom to know how to move out of these complex challenges. I believe that if we look to Jesus, we'll find the truth in a world full of deceit and lies and confusion. And if we look to Jesus, I think that we'll find the hope in a world that has lots of despair.
You know, that's the only way I can tell you that after all of these horrible things of 2020 and just seeing the division in our country, and I know we've talked about that many times, these are times that if we didn't have the hope, if we didn't have the truth of the Word of God, I really don't know what life would be like right now for people. And yet, as we say that, Andy, there are people who go to bed every night with something that most of us don't have to deal with, and that's hunger or the ravages of human trafficking. You know, that's not typically every American's experience, but it's going on right here in our noses. So there are many, many forces of darkness that is trying, they are trying to defeat us. But thanks be to God, God is greater than them all. And I don't think that was a Pollyanna answer at all. I think it was a faith-filled answer.
Well, the reality is just in those two incidences, if we look to Jesus, there's an answer. If someone is hungry, Jesus is pretty clear, feed them. That's how we eradicate hunger, is by feeding people. The situation you mentioned about human trafficking, it's happening right under our noses, but we as followers of Jesus are called to value people and to fight injustice. And if we as Christians could just act like Christ, we could see Christ change the world. It's funny, that conversation I mentioned that I had with the agnostic, it really challenged me personally, and I'm currently preaching through a little sermon series around that called Christians Act Like Christ. And it's both an encouragement and a rebuke, because we, if the people of God can act like Jesus, then we will see that Jesus is the answer to the problems that our world has.
You know, when I was in Gainesville, I had lunch or breakfast a couple of times with a neighbor who did not declare himself to be an agnostic. He declared himself to be an atheist. And, you know, I think it's really good that we can talk from time to time with people who are just radically different than we are and than what we believe. But in one of my chats, I've never forgotten him saying this, and it just goes to show the level of their need to hear what is we believe is the truth. I said, well, what if you get to heaven or to death and you find out there is a heaven and there is a God? And his answer was, well, he said, I have no doubts that in that moment I would be able to convince this God that I was worthy to go into heaven. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, he needs a revelation of the holiness of God.
That's quite a statement. That's I am not sure statement. I would want to rest too much on that personally.
But the truth is, his need, the agnostic's need, our need, it's all the same.
Absolutely.
We need a Savior. We need Jesus. He's the only way. And that is going to be what makes a man, any man, a better man, is if they have that going for them. And the really good news is they can.
Absolutely. One of the things that we say around better man is that men become better men when they know the best man. And I think there's no doubt, looking through the lens of history looking through the lens of theology, looking through the lens of philosophy, whatever your lens, that Jesus as a person, as the Son of God, is incomparable.
Mm, he is indeed. Andy Searles, my guest today. The Better Man event happens this week, starting at 4 o'clock for all of the fun and activities at the First Baptist Auditorium. Outside, they'll have food trucks and this axe throwing, which that sounds like fun. And then at 6:30, a pre-show. At 7, it all begins. Give us that website. We've got 30 seconds left. Give us that website.
BetterManEvent.com. BetterManEvent.com. Go there. You'll find everything you'll need to make a great weekend that challenges you to be better.
And keep your eyes. If you miss this event, you can always get it virtually and watch it as a stream. Again, BetterManEvent.com. Thank you, Andy, for being with me.
Mike, it's always a pleasure.
And friends, thank you for being with us. We'll see you next time here, Afternoons with Mike.